When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
At 8:29 in the morning on March 4th of 2022, first responders had just left the Richens home in Commas, Utah. Eric Richens, he was deceased. His body was still in the house. And according to digital forensic analysts and analyst Chris Kortodemos, who testified in the trial of Corey Richens, three meme thumbnails were recovered from Corey Richens' phone, accessed at that exact time. So, just if you're like not quite following along here, this woman's husband, father to their three children, who are in the other room, by the way, is being zipped into a body bag and being taken out of the home. And she's just been told he did not make it. I mean, she already kind of knows that. He was cold to the touch by the time she called 911. But now it's official. The medical examiners are saying, or the first responders, I should say, are saying, sorry, really sorry, your husband just died. And Corey then gets on her phone. And you think, okay, this is the time you're going to be reaching out to a very trusted loved one, someone that you can lay it all out there for and just be like, I'm my God, my husband's dead. Because of course you didn't do it, right? I mean, nobody would do that, would they? Nobody would poison their husband, the father of their kids. You'd be calling your friends, your family, somebody just to come, like, you know, just to have the presence of another person with you. Well, Corey did. She picked up her phone and she went to memes, which is kind of odd. Memes to comfort someone who just lost the love of their life. One of the memes featured Donald Trump with the caption, "I'm really rich." Another showed a man captioned, "Idiots, idiots everywhere." As there's people all over the house trying to figure out what just happened here, trying to see if they could bring him back to life. That didn't work. And now they're looking around the house a little bit. They didn't do very good. So maybe the meme actually was correct. Idiots, idiots everywhere. But it's an odd thing to say. It's an odd thing to say or think or look up as a meme as they're trying to help you. The third was a woman wiping her tears with cash. Money. Yeah. And after she looked those up, she got rid of that search. The original images had been deleted, but the digital ghosts, what analysts call orphaned thumbnails, survived. Call them zombie memes, if you will. Corey Richens is presumed innocent and all charges against her, but the jury saw those images and they saw the timestamp. That moment was just one piece of what became the most data-heavy, digitally devastating day of testimony yet in the Corey Richens murder trial. Day six, week two. The prosecution's pivot from physical evidence and witness testimony into the world of phones, deleted files, cell tower maps, and the kind of Google searches that raise more questions than they answer. And we're going to get into all of it. And while we do, I welcome you to please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this or watching this so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases that we got for you here. If you're new, welcome. Hey, join us over on Substack as well. We got a great community there of some of our most diehard supporters and fans and true crime enthusiasts. I'd love talking about these cases. If you want to talk a good case with some folks and not have it be, you know, weighed down by a gazillion comments, do check out our Substack. It's a great conversation on these cases. Or YouTube, another great place to check it out. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Either way, press subscribe. And on the podcast platforms as well, Apple Podcast, all that, press subscribe. Okay. Before we get into everything else, we gotta go back in time, because before any of that, any of the Google searches and all the damning material that came out, the morning started with procedural fireworks. The defense had filed a mistrial motion based on something that happened the previous week when crime scene technician Chelsea Gibson accidentally referenced jail calls during cross-examination, potentially alerting the jury that Corey had been in custody. The jury doesn't know that part. Richard Marzik, a judge, denied that motion. He called the comment improper, but relatively innocuous, made in passing and inadvertent. He instructed jurors not to consider whether Corey is or has ever been in custody when reaching their verdict. Separately, a jury sent a note saying they recognized one of the day's witnesses. The defense wants that juror removed. The judge hasn't ruled yet. The courtroom was tense before the first witness even sat down. That first witness was Dr. Eric Christensen, the former chief medical examiner for the state of Utah. He supervised the doctor who signed Eric Richens' death certificate. His testimony, it did two things. First, the medical science. Christensen told the jury that the fentanyl in Eric's system was ingested orally. There was no injection, none of that. He explained that fentanyl is 80 to 100 times more potent than morphine, and that when taken orally, a fatal dose doesn't kill immediately. The body has to metabolize it first. He testified that the medical examiner's office ruled the manner of death undetermined, but he was more specific than that label suggests. According to his testimony, the team did not have concerns about suicide. They believed Eric was given fentanyl by someone else. They just couldn't determine who did it or how. Then came the phone call. The prosecution played a 9-minute recording of Corey calling Christensen to ask about supplemental toxicology result from Eric's autopsy. She wanted to know if the 15 nanograms of fentanyl found in Eric's body was a large amount. His answer, people die with half that or less in their system. She asked about quetiapine, an antipsychotic medication found in Eric's blood, mispronouncing it multiple ways. Here's what matters about that. This drug was prescribed to Corey. She should know what it's called. So playing stupid and not knowing the name of the drug that was prescribed actually to you? And saying it different ways to not look suspicious, Corey? Oh, good job. You almost got away with that one. You almost did. Or you could just be an idiot. I don't know. I'm not great at enunciating. I don't know. I know what I take. I do. I do. I have several prescription drugs that I take. Some have weird names. Maybe the first week or two, I was like, nah, and I figured it out. She could just be an idiot. I mean, we do have to consider that there is kind of a track record of not the brightest choices here. So Corey not necessarily knowing the actual drugs that she takes herself or have been prescribed to her, not a bridge that far, quite honestly. But it is important to note that the drug that was found in Eric's system was the exact same one that was prescribed to her. She told Christensen that Eric had no history of fentanyl use. Her exact words, no. That's why all of this is like, what the heck? Quick note for anybody out there, especially the non-swearers who don't like swear. I'm sorry. Why do you swear? Because it's my channel and I can do what I want. But the folks that really don't like and they go, oh, heck, when your husband is dead, you have permission to use the word hell. You can say what the hell. No one's going to judge you. Just, it's a freebie. Christensen also testified about something that quietly brings one of the biggest fights in this case. The oxycodone versus fentanyl debate. I feel like we need like some sort of special music for this or... What do we want here? We want this one? We want...
The oxycodone versus fentanyl debate in the Corey Richens trial. Round one. Fight.
Something like that. Because it's the big thing. It's the big thing that... The Corey Richens defense is trying to make into an even bigger thing. So let's talk about that, because at the end of the day, these people not quite knowing exactly the name of the color or the name of the drug that they're trafficking amongst themselves doesn't really matter. They could call it fancy feast Pop-Tart flavor, and it really doesn't make a damn bit of difference. All right, follow along here with me on this. Christensen testified about something that quietly bridges one of the biggest fights in this case, okay? He told the jury that counterfeit oxycodone, I should be very specific here because that gets confused too. Counterfeit oxycodone pills, ones that are almost entirely composed of fentanyl, are very common on the street. That matters because the defense has spent significant energy attacking Carmen Larber's credibility by pointing out that she originally told investigators she bought oxycodone, not fentanyl, for Corey. And Larber's supplier, Robert Krauser, has said the same. But if the pills sold as oxycodone on the street are routinely counterfeit fentanyl, and the former chief medical examiner is telling the jury that's the case, then the distinction the defense is hammering may not be the exoneration they're framing it as. They don't know what the hell they were dealing in. I believe Corey probably thought she was poisoning him with oxy or propofol, because that's what she called it. Or so she called it the Michael Jackson stuff. And then her housekeeper is calling it oxy. And then the Krauser is calling it oxycodone or content. He confuses that a bit too. And at the end of the day, it's exactly what I've been saying the whole damn time. It's from the street. A good deal of this stuff is laced with fentanyl. again, they could have sold you a Pop-Tart and said Oxy was in it, and we could have been laced with it. I mean, it doesn't matter. She asked for the stronger stuff, and through the chain of idiots, she got it. The defense wasn't done with Christensen, though. Attorney Alex Ramos went after what investigators didn't do. No hair follicle testing, which could have revealed chronic drug use over time, which we've been saying on this show. You're welcome, Corey Richens' defense. I'm glad you got a chance to use it. Because it could be used on either side of this case, quite honestly. You heard it here first, the hair follicle testing. We brought it up about 2 weeks ago. Did several pieces on it. Why was the hair follicle not tested? You could still go back and test it. He hasn't been cremated. That could show a pattern of use, but nobody decided to do that. You're welcome, Corey Richens' defense. They also didn't do urine testing, no eye fluid or liver analysis. Christensen acknowledged all of those could have yielded additional information. Hair testing is available, but only done when specifically requested, and nobody requested it. Ramos also established that the medical examiner's office received unusual pre-ruling communications from multiple law enforcement agencies, the DEA, and prosecutors, something Christensen conceded is not common practice. The defense is building a picture of an investigation that was pointed in one direction from the start, which it might have been. Again, this was a pretty shitty investigation, without a doubt. But it doesn't take away over here all of the damning shit she did. The two can live in the same universe. The prosecution played a 13-minute video of Robert Crozier in May 23 in an interview with law enforcement. Crozier was in custody at the time. The judge instructed the jury to consider only Crozier's words as truthful, not the officer's statements, which were being treated as context for his responses. What the jury heard was a man hedging. He claimed he didn't know anything about fentanyl. He said he talked to Labra maybe twice and said she paid about $500 to $600. He said she asked for blues for a friend. He specifically said he sold her M30s, the pill designation for 30-milligram oxycodone tablets, which happened to be among the most commonly counterfeited pills in America for fentanyl. There you go. That's how it was fentanyl. He said he lost the phone he used to communicate with Lauber. When told that both Lauber and another woman named Nicole Cummings had given his name to investigators, his response was to ask if both them, and he used a word I won't repeat, gave you any name, and he laughed. When warned that involvement with fentanyl could mean federal charges, he asked, "This isn't going to backdoor me or anything." Crozier wasn't denying the transactions. He was minimizing them. Then came Nicole Cummings. Filled in a gap the jury may not have known existed. According to testimony, Cummings was the person who connected Lauber with Crozier. In the first place, there's another one messaging Lauber to tell her she could buy blues from him. That's the link in the chain between Corey's alleged request and the drugs allegedly ending up in her hands. After Crozier's video, the prosecution called Molly Crosswhite. Her testimony was brief, but structurally essential. Crosswhite bought a small home in Midway from Corey on January 26 of 2022. She never moved in. Her renters didn't arrive until March 30th, and for over 2 months, the house sat empty, with a key left outside for contractors and locks that never changed. This is the same property Cameron Lauber testified was used as a dead drop for cash and pills. Crosswhite had no idea any of it happened. Well, that's interesting. So Corey was using business property for drug trafficking.
There's a whole other set of charges for that sort of shit, Corey, by the way, just so you're aware. So for some reason, they don't get you on this?
Ooh. Well,
they might have a plan B. Then came Allison Wright. She works at Eric's masonry business, C&E Stone. Her husband, Cody, was Eric's business partner. The two families were close enough to vacation together. Wright testified about a conversation she had alone with Corey during a trip to Costa Rica in February of 2019. Corey told her things were difficult at home. She said she felt trapped. She described a prenuptial agreement that would leave Eric financially secure in a divorce and Corey with nothing. Corey worried that her kids would prefer Eric because of the lifestyle he could provide or the fact that you're just a crazy... I won't say the word because I know it offends people. Right. Said she later interpreted Corey's decision to pursue a master's degree and get her real estate license as being motivated to become financially independent. On cross, defense attorney Kathy Nestor tried to reframe it. She asked if the real context for that Costa Rica conversation was Eric's alleged romantic feelings for a female coworker. Wright said she wasn't aware of that at the time. Corey reportedly made a visible expression of surprise at that answer. A moment the jury could see from the gallery. Nestor also raised a temporary falling out between Wright's husband and Eric over hunting law violations. Wright acknowledged it, but said the families remained close. She noted that both she and her husband have accompanied Corey to her hearings, to court hearings. In other words, even the prosecution's own motive witness hasn't abandoned the defendant. And then, but wait, there's more. And then came Corded Demos. And if this trial has a single day the prosecution will point to in closing arguments, this may be it. Corded Demos is the reason. He's a former law enforcement lieutenant who now runs a digital forensic analysis business. He was retained by the Summit County Attorney's Office in May of 2023 to analyze cell phone data from seven devices and sets of records. Three phones belonging to Corey, one belonging to Eric, one belonging to Carmen Lauber, and one belonging to Josh Grossman, Corey's alleged boyfriend, and phone records tied to Robert Krauser. This is where it gets even more interesting and, one may say, damning. Start with the deletions, shall we? Eric's phone showed no mass deletions. Corey's white iPhone, the one seized by officers on April 13th of 2022, had hundreds of text messages, web history, and call logs deleted between January and mid-March of 2022. That's interesting. Just those windows. You know, it's one thing if like somebody has a pattern of deleting their, some people really keep up with the data on their phone. You know, it's like, I got to delete this. I get that. If that's your pattern and that's what you do, I don't do it, but some do. And if that's your pattern and you're always deleting shit, that's not suspicious. What is suspicious is when there is no pattern of that, yet there's a huge uptick in it between January and mid-March of 2022. If you're Corey Richens, and this is what happened to you and your husband. That window covers every alleged drug deal, the alleged Valentine's Day poisoning attempt, and Eric's death. Her replacement silver phone, which she started using April 14th, showed some deletions, but not the large-scale scrubbing seen on the first device. Her blue phone, used simultaneously with the silver, showed no mass deletions. That blue phone was used primarily to communicate with Grossman. And here's a detail that landed. Cortodemos found a text from Corey to Grossman on the blue phone telling him she'd activated one of her mom's phones and would be using it going forward to talk with him. A separate device, separate channel. The jury can draw its own conclusions about why. Mom, same mom who, very long time ago in a land far, far away, had a partner who also OD'd on prescription medication. Not saying anything about that. Not saying she, because again, her attorneys have said this is crazy. Nobody's, she didn't do anything. This is just a witch hunt. This is insane. She's never been charged with anything. So of course she had nothing to do with it. It just happens to be that this woman was that close to two people ODing in her lifetime. The odds are not great, but they happen. Mom seems to be there quite a bit. Mom is a recipient of the, you know, walk the dog letter. Mom seems to be pretty influential, and there's nothing wrong with having an influential mother in your life. Nothing at all. Take Donna Adelson, for I'm not comparing her to Donna. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just throwing it out there as this is part of the documented history. Does it look a little weird? A little. Does it have anything to do with anything that happened? There's no evidence to say that. And I am not saying that. I am pointing out the documented history. And the documented history, in a lot of cases, just kind of speaks for itself. Then came Valentine's Day, February 14th of 2022, the day prosecutors allege Corey attempted to murder Eric by lacing his food with fentanyl. The phone data painted a split screen. Corey texted Grossman, "I love you. Want to be my Valentine's?" She was traveling to see him that day. Meanwhile, Eric texted Corey at 11:33 a.m. saying he didn't feel well and was going to lay down. He told her he'd head to the hospital if he didn't get better. So your husband is over here saying, "I might go to the hospital if I don't get better." And that bitch is over here going, "You want to be my Valentine?" She's a lovely person. Lovely person. If you're just learning about this case, you're just starting to watch it, you're like, whoa. Yeah. If you ever had a borderline or a narcissist in your life, oh, this is a case to relate to. I'm not saying she is. I can't diagnose her. I'm saying she resembles it a lot, in my opinion. So Eric says he's going to go to the hospital if he doesn't get better. She's texting her beau. Their exchange ended with Corey telling him there was food on the seat of the truck. Cutter Demos testified that Eric had an 87-minute gap in phone activity that afternoon. Abnormal for him based on data from other days. Remember talking about trends and how people use their phones? 87 minutes with no this. I know it seems like, well, that must happen all the time to folks. Believe it or not, we can't let these things down for a few minutes. So an 87-minute gap in his day was quite a gap, historically speaking, compared to his track record. He was down for the count for a bit. One woman, two men, two completely different realities happening on the same day, documented in the same phone records. Now, the night Eric died, March 3rd of 2022, Eric received a text message at 10 p.m. after the time Corey reportedly said she last saw him alive. It's unclear whether he ever opened it. Court of Demos presented data showing Corey's phone was unlocked multiple times, starting at 3:06 a.m. on March 4th. She didn't call 911 until 3:21. That's 15 minutes of phone activity before calling for help for a man she says she found cold and not breathing. First responders noted Eric appeared to have been dead for some time when they arrived. So again, let's do a little, you know, as Robin calls them, thought experiments. And just think about this for a second here, because it's one thing to hear the news delivered like that, hear the story delivered, but let's think. We've been doing a lot of that here. Let's do a little bit more. You wake up, or in this case, she goes into the bedroom. Because remember, she said she fell asleep in their children's room because one of them was having an episode that night and she wanted to calm him down. Be a good mom. Okay, get it. Totally get it. Yeah, go. Kids are the number one priority. At least they should be. And you come back to bed at whatever hour that was. And she claims she gets into bed and then she notices Eric's stiff and cold to the touch. She realizes right away he's not alive, not breathing at least. What's the first thing you do? If you're not, even if you are a trained medical professional and you happen to have like the defibrillator and everything right there next to you, even if you're in a freaking hospital room and you walk in and there's no possible scenario that makes sense. That once you find the love of your life
stiff as a board in the bed that you just got into, that your first mode of reaction isn't picking this up and calling 911. If it's not your first mode of reaction, either you killed him or you're an idiot or both. I'm leaning more kind of towards both. Your three kids are in the house. He's 15 minutes. What are you doing for 15 minutes? If you're not, I mean, unless you're sitting there trying to resuscitate him, which she was not. That's the only excuse that I could go with, is I'm going to try and handle this on my own faster than first responders could get here because I have some training, or I'm going to take a shot in the frickin' dark. Or call 911 and have them walk you through it. Again. 15 minutes you didn't call, Corey. And if you listen to that 911 call, and then you see her behavior on camera just moments later when first responders finally arrive after she waited 15 minutes to call the authorities, you have a very different personality. Oh, everyone grieves differently. Yeah, and you know what? Everyone murders differently too. The thing is, the folks who are murdering tend to have some pretty obvious tells. The folks who are grieving, there ain't a lot of them that I end up looking back on going, oh yeah, completely innocent. That was really weird that they acted that way. But they are completely innocent. I can't think of any. I'm sure there's some that exist. And then came the Google searches. Because why leave well enough alone? They were recovered from the replacement phone Corey got after Eric's death. The prosecution displayed them for the jury. Can you delete everything on an iCloud account? Can deleted text messages be retrieved? How to completely wipe an iPhone clear remotely? Can cops force you to do a lie detector test? What is FBI analysis of electronics? Will life insurance pay if death certificate is pending? Luxury prisons for the rich in America. Women, Utah prison. Corey Richens, commas, net worth. What are you allowed inside Utah jails? She searched how much constitutes a lethal dose of fentanyl, whether the manner of death on a death certificate can be changed, the definition of white-collar crime. These aren't the searches of a grieving widow. And the jury heard every single one. As meek little Corey sat there in her cardigan, doing her best Donna Adelson impression. Demos then turned to the cell tower data. This is where Lauber's testimony either gets corroborated by physics or falls apart. He mapped the movement of Lauber's and Krauser's phones on three specific dates, February 11th, February 26th, and on March 9th, 2022. On each date, both phones converged at the same Maverick gas station in Draper. Those are the only three time Lauber's phone ever traveled to that location. Each time, Corey was texting Lauber frequently. 34 messages between them on February 11th alone. Between January and March 15th of 2022, Corey and Lauber exchanged roughly 800 text messages. That's 10 to 11 per day. After March 16th, through the end of the year, it dropped to about 600 total. Roughly three per day, a 70% decrease. The relationship that had been white hot during the window of the alleged drug deals went cold almost immediately after Eric's death. Wonder what he was thinking. One more data point.
Court of Demos reviewed Eric's phone and found three text conversations between Eric and Corey about THC gummies, one in November 21 and two in January 22. Outside of those, he found zero communication between them about buying drugs. And THC gummies are not exactly illicit street drugs. They're not at all. No illicit substances, no fentanyl, nothing. If Eric was secretly using, he apparently never discussed it with his wife through any channel investigators could find. The defense pushed back. Ramos questioned whether anyone else could have accessed Corey's phones during that period. Yes, there's some person that's sneaking in hundreds of times a week and accessing Corey's phone. Court of Demos said he wasn't sure. Ramos challenged whether file path data can identify who actually performed the deletions. He asked whether Court of Demos had validated his analysis against Apple's own data standards. He had not. Ramos called the analysis speculation. It's a reasonable cross. Digital forensics always has margin and settings matter, but the sheer volume of what came through that testimony is hard to dismiss with procedural questions, which is what they were trying to kind of hit out into the park. Let's see if we can get something in this inning. Day six of the Corey Richens trial wasn't about a single witness or a single revelation. It was about the prosecution layering data on top of data on top of data until the picture became almost impossible to look away from. A medical examiner who says Eric was given fentanyl by someone else, a drug supplier hedging on video but not denying the details, an empty house perfectly positioned as a dead drop, a friend who heard Corey say she felt trapped 3 years before Eric died, and a digital forensic analyst who showed the jury what Corey's phones were doing and deleting during the exact weeks. The prosecution says she was planning and carrying out a murder. The defense has legitimate questions about testing that wasn't done, about who had access to those devices, about the reliability of data interpretation, but the phones don't need to take the stand. They don't need immunity deals. They can't be cross-examined into changing their story. And on this day of the trial, they told theirs. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or Substack. We'd love to hear from you on this case. Weigh in. Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description. It's right there if you're watching us on YouTube or wherever you may be. Go check that out. Press subscribe. Join us over there. It's free to join right now. No subscription fees, nothing. It's all open. There's no paywall. Just go join and be part of our conversations there. We'd love to have you in that community that we're assembling over there. About 1,000 of you in that group now. Thank you so much for coming over. We love meeting you and love having you there. And also on YouTube, check us out over there, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Find us, press subscribe, and join in those conversations. Okay, I think we've covered it all. Oh, press subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Do that too. Apple Podcasts, Substack, wherever. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love you to join us. All right, we'll continue the conversation in the comments. Until then, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Moto Casino, America. Circus Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No